saving money on your next project with help from Menards. Be prepared for flooding and keep your basement dry with Barracuda Pumps. Barracuda makes high-quality pumps that offer dependable performance for when you need it most. Save big money on all Barracuda Pumps now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. ¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. Clayton Morris here. This is Morning Invest. So good to see all of you. The only morning business show for real people, not the Wall Street types. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about Wall Street this morning, crying in their cornflakes because there's no stimulus. That's sending the Dow futures plummeting this morning, already down significantly in early morning trading. We'll show you that. They're nervous about the stimulus. They're nervous about three or four other things, which we will get to. The reason I bring it up, because it has broader implications on the economy, not just about Wall Street. So we'll look at that. We're also going to look at why Trump is, President Trump is stopping to run ads now. He's stopping down ads in Florida. What's going on with the latest poll numbers? So we'll look at Wisconsin, Michigan, battleground states. Gosh, we only have 6 days until the election. So we'll show you the latest on the election front. We're also going to look at whether or not now is a good enough time to buy a house. Should you be investing in real estate? Should you be buying a house to live in? What are mortgage interest rates looking like? We'll show you the latest in the housing market. It is booming. Is that good news? Bad news? We'll cut through some of the smoke on all of that today. But first, I want to tell you how you can get three free stocks right now until Halloween. You have till the 31st. Three free stocks. Remember, this is free money. All you have to do is open a free Webull account by going to morninginvest.com/Webull. You have to use that link in order to get it. And the reason that this is so great is you might, and they're going to give you value up to $1,600. Now, you might get one stock that's $10, another one that's $200, one that's $50, or you might get, it's random how they process it. But anyway, you're going to get three free stocks for opening a brokerage account. To get the third stock, you have to deposit $100 into your account. Just to be clear, full transparency. You're not giving $100 away, you're just putting it into your account. Then you get three free stocks plus your $100, and if you don't want to ever trade stocks or buy into some of the green companies that I'm starting to look at and invest in, then you could close the account, take the free money, and just put it back in your own bank account. But on the off chance that you do want to use a trading account, there you go. Now you've got a free account with some free money in it. So check them out at morninginvest.com/Webull. That's how you get those. I know the graphic says one, but they're doing a special promotion right now through Halloween where you get three free stocks valued up to $1,600. So check them out. Check them out. And we're going to be following some different green energy companies here on the show. I'm going to tell you things that you can invest in which are really recession-proof. They've already been weathering this pandemic and doing fantastic. So we're going to be looking more closely at some of these companies over the next few days and into the next week as well. So let's talk about the stock market today. Waking up this morning with stock market futures plunging. And look at these numbers, folks. So just early morning, I mean, just in the past 24 hours, stocks are down big time. Of course, all of this comes on the heels of President Trump saying that the stock market is doing great under me. You know, if you vote for Biden, it's going to be a stock market collapse, right? Everything is just going to collapse if you vote for Biden. This morning, NASDAQ futures down, S&P 500 in blue there, down as of just before showtime this morning. U.S. stock futures fell on Wednesday as rising coronavirus infections shook investors' confidence. The recovery, the economic recovery, which has stalled and ground to a halt. Futures tied to the S&P 500 dropped 1.4%, suggesting that a broader index is going to continue to retreat for the third consecutive session. So now President Trump said that, just to be clear, that if Vice President Biden is elected, that we would see stocks plunging. Does that hold water before the election? Are you allowed to blame Biden before the election? He's not president. So why is the stock market tanking? Well, for a couple of reasons. Number one, and most importantly, is a lack of stimulus. I love this quote from Hugh Gimber. He's a global market strategist at JP Morgan. Listen to this insight. He says, a month ago, the narrative in the market was very much that a lockdown would be limited and targeted and would have a smaller impact on the economy. But now what we're seeing is a broader concerns that lockdowns might be wider and have a much wider impact. Yeah, because now we're seeing record setting, almost 500,000 cases in a week of coronavirus cases. And cases spiking all over the country right now. Europe going back under lockdown. France going under lockdown. Scotland, I love this story this morning. Scotland is allowing you to go to the pub, but no alcohol. What's the point? Why? Who wants to go to the pub with no alcohol in Scotland, of all places? Italy, which has been, you know, this is the confounding thing, I think. I mean, this is how I see it. I find it completely confounding, is that Italy had nationwide mask mandate, everyone in the streets wearing a mask, and yet now they're seeing significant spikes again. What gives? What gives? So COVID, stimulus, a lack of stimulus, and the craziness around the election. So what's going to happen on November 3rd? One of the reasons the stocks are tumbling this morning is because of concerns about what happens with mail-in votes. If on November 3rd, we don't have all of the mail-in votes counted, will there be state-by-state court battles demanding at the Supreme Court levels in each state? Will it go all the way to the Supreme Court? What will happen? Let's say you postmark your mail-in ballot on election day. So you've postmarked it November 3rd, right? Which, by the way, is the same thing that happens with taxes, right? You have to postmark your ballot November 3rd or on April 15th so that the IRS doesn't ding you for a delay in paying your taxes. Why shouldn't the same thing apply here? I've postmarked my mail-in ballot by November 3rd. We should give it till November 6th to have it counted. So questions about that. Questions about whether or not these ballots will be counted, whether or not absentee ballots will be counted if they don't arrive in time. Praise to the post office right now, working around the clock, doing what they can from what I'm hearing. So good on them for that. Markets slid lower this week overall on a number of uncertainties, of course, worsening coronavirus cases, stringent restrictions that are now popping up, and what will that mean to smaller businesses? But of course, all of this is tied to GDP. All of this is tied to consumer confidence, consumer spending. And so if we don't have stimulus, which we're not, we don't, there is no stimulus, despite what YouTubers will tell you. There are a number of court cases right now. There are a number of things that the Senate is focused on. Number one is getting reelected. So they are traveling, they are visiting their home states, they are worrying about getting reelected. That's the main focus. They are not worried about passing a stimulus. Did you see Ted Cruz's interview the other day on Axios, where he talks about this massive debt and that we just can't afford to do anything? He thinks it's dire if we spend any more money. But it's okay to keep bailing out Wall Street, $5 trillion. Investors also had been hoping that talks between the White House and Democrats over a fresh stimulus package would result in agreement before Election Day. That sent stocks tumbling on the backs of some comments from Mitch McConnell yesterday that there's no stimulus. There's nothing. Steven Mnuchin saying, no, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. Those hopes have now faded completely. So there will not be a stimulus before Election Day. But if you have your money tied up in a 401k right now, I mean, this is where you should be concerned. You have your money, your future, your family's future tied up in some sort of retirement account tied to this volatility. You know, talk to your financial advisor, talk to your HR director at work, talk to your person who handles setting up your 401k at work and have a conversation with them. You know, find out how you can move this out under the CARES Act now. You have the ability to move out up $100,000 out of your 401k into something more stable that performs for you, like real estate, like precious metals. Heck, like even moving it over into a cryptocurrency account that's backed by cryptocurrency like Outlet. All of these options on the table right now. Or investing it in companies that aren't tied to this broader recession. You know, making sure you don't own airline stocks. Make sure you don't have money in the hospitality industry or things that are even loosely tied to those vectors. Very important. So big concerns right now in the stock market about a lack of stimulus, where they see this presidential election going, which, you know, the fact that even Apple, by the way, Apple's holding another event in November, likely to announce their new MacBooks with their own Apple Silicon chips inside. I'm very excited about this. And they would normally have had an event like at the beginning of November. And then we've got Thanksgiving, right? So they didn't even want to hold their event anywhere near the November 3rd election, not even like the following week, because that's how these big businesses are seeing it right now. It's going to be a disaster. Unless, of course, there's a big landslide on November 3rd. If there's a landslide in favor one way or the other on November 3rd, then we won't have this tumultuousness. Things will hopefully settle down a little bit. That's what I'm hoping for. But if we end up in this widespread court battle where you have, you know, like a George W. Bush style stealing of an election in Florida, hanging chads and lawyers every day meeting at the Tallahassee courthouse and Capitol building, et cetera, or Miami-Dade County, God knows, you know, then we're in for a world of hurt. But just look at Europe. I mean, I am concerned what's going on right now in Europe, and I think that's why you're seeing some of the sentiment right now in the broader market. Germany going under further lockdowns this morning. You know, Germany was supposed to be this great bastion of hope, right? We kept hearing from Angela Merkel. We kept hearing from the scientists. We're going to just follow the science. Testing, tracing in Germany. And now Germany is a hotspot. Germany's having huge problems. Italy's having huge problems. The Czech Republic, the UK, Spain, France. And a lot of these countries put on masks and had mask mandates. So either it's just like, I think we're all in this like fatigue right now, don't you? Do you guys feel like we're in this like virus fatigue? What are we supposed to do? It's like no one has a real plan. I don't hear anyone talking about a real plan. I don't hear Joe Biden talking about a real, you know, having a national mask mandate. Okay, yeah, Italy's tried that. Vaccine or herd immunity? My gosh, is that really our only choice at this point? And even then, we hear about these antibodies vanishing after 4 and 5 months. So am I going to have to get vaccinated every year or every 6 months in order to make sure that I don't get coronavirus? That's why the market is crazy this morning. That's why we're seeing these numbers this morning. All you need to do is look at those three factors, stimulus, COVID, election, to see why the Dow Jones and the S&P 500 plummeting in early hours this morning. It's like every day my wife says, man, it went down another 600 points, another 200 points, another 300 points. Again, do you want your money tied up in this? Please be smarter. Please be smarter. Got more to get to this morning. I want to talk about this in the election, by the way. question we asked this morning in our newsletter is, should Amy Coney Barrett, Justice Amy Coney Barrett, so weird to even say that now, right? So Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett, of course, she's been now officially confirmed last night in a ceremony at the White House, which is odd, by the way, because normally they do this on the steps of the Supreme Court. That's, of course, where Sonia Sotomayor, that's where Justice Kavanaugh. Did Justice Kavanaugh do that on the Supreme Court steps? I don't remember. I know, but many of them have. They was at the White House. And right away, she's going to be faced with having to make a decision on whether or not to recuse herself in an election battle. Now, you remember a few weeks ago, or back in August, President Trump had talked about wanting to get someone on the Supreme Court as soon as possible to make sure that this election was taken care of. So will she have to recuse herself in this Pennsylvania battle? So what's going on in Pennsylvania right now? I'll ask you this question. Do you think she should have to recuse herself? Lawyers for a Pennsylvania county, Luzerne County, my home state, just filed a petition with the Supreme Court on Tuesday asking Justice Barrett to recuse herself from an election-related case. So what's going on there? Well, the Supreme Court is currently considering a request from Pennsylvania Republicans asking the justices to block a state Supreme Court decision there that, if allowed, that would allow the counting of ballots received 3 days after the election, meaning they'd have to be postmarked, you know, by the 3rd of November on Election Day, but that the mail sometimes takes 2 days, 3 days. So what if they don't show up? Should those ballots be counted? You know, like I said, in the same way that the IRS allows your taxes to not be late if it's postmarked on April 15th. They're going to receive it on April 17th or April 18th or whatever. But you at least got it in the mail on time. Shouldn't that be the same thing here? I'm just asking. And that's exactly what the Pennsylvania lawyers are asking on behalf of voters. So Luzerne County, whose lawyers penned the brief, supports the state court's decision right now. Even if, so if you don't have an legible postmark, like even if your postmark isn't legible, they still want these to be counted. Lawyers acknowledge that their motion comes at an inopportune time for Justice Barrett, this being her first day as an associate justice. You think it's inopportune? Here, why don't you, we're just going to throw you right into the fire. Here you go, Judge. No time, no rest for the weary. It's been crazy, I know. Whirlwind, you're having to move your family and everything. You're moving to Washington, you know, wherever, you know. She come from like Chicago or something? In the middle of a school year, upending your family. Here you go. Here's your first thing you got to deal with. A huge election. The election of a lifetime. And it's all up to them right now. It's up to the Supreme Court justices to decide whether or not they would recuse themselves or not. They have to be honest, you know, it's up to them. They can come forward and say, no, I feel like I can handle this. We've seen, so what kind of history lesson do we have here? What kind of context? Well, we've already seen Justice Barrett recuse herself from other cases in the past. When her dad, of course, working for Shell Oil, came before her court, she recused herself in that case. Didn't think it was appropriate to hear a case about Shell Oil when her dad is the attorney for Shell Oil. Now, that's pretty blatant, right? That's pretty obvious. So should she do it here? The argument, of course, is that President Trump just chose her, squeezed her through to get on the Supreme Court in the nick of time. And as quickly as possible. So arguably, if President Trump chooses you to do this job, you're going to thank your boss, right? The guy who got you the job. It's obvious to me. Curious what you think about it, though. Of course, during the confirmation hearings before the Senate Judiciary Committee, Democrats pressed Barrett that if she would promise to do so, would she recuse herself, but she made no commitments to it. She was pretty vague the whole time, of course, during her hearing. Again, it's totally up to her. So should these lawyers have the ability to get this pushed through. If someone gets a mail-in ballot dropped in the mail the day before the election or the day of the election, it's on time, technically. It's now in federal hands, right? It's in a federal mailbox. By the way, if I decide to open that mailbox, I go to prison, right? I go to federal prison for messing with a federal piece of property, post office tampering, right? I'd go to federal prison. So that becomes a valid, once it, you know, hits that mailbox, you can, you know, get mail fraud, right? I mean, if you start messing with that, it's now it's in federal hands. As soon as it goes in that mailbox, federal government has access to it. It's a valid argument. What do you think? I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Let me know in the chat below. Don't forget to smash that like button and subscribe. You know, YouTube tells me that 70% of you aren't subscribed to my channel. That's shocking. So we got, what, 5,000 people watching right now across our platforms. Just subscribe. Just hit the subscribe button. We do this show every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time, so you can join us live right here. You can also catch our other videos that we publish throughout the day if you miss any of our show. So thank you so much for subscribing. The only morning business show for average people, not the Wall Street types. We've got a lot more to get to on the show today. We got viewer feedback. We got a lot of great questions I want to get to this morning. By the way, you can always leave me a question. Just go to morninginvest.com. And right there on the side of the page, you'll see a little voicemail button that you can click. And let me see how I do this here. And when you go to this website, when you go to morninginvest.com, that's our main website, you can sign up for our free newsletter, which is delivered to your inbox first thing every morning for free, totally free, totally free. But right on the side of the page, there's a little voicemail button, which means you can leave me a voicemail. Keep your questions to about 30 seconds or less. And ask any financial related question, business related question you want, real estate related question, and we will play them right here on the show. So we got a few questions. How's Grover looking? Grover, are you ready for a question this morning? Let's take a viewer question this morning. This one is from Beth. Let's listen to Beth. Oh, I got to turn this on first. A little out of sorts this morning. Get this set up right. And now we will take a question from Beth. That microphone on. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom. Sorry, I have to turn all these little, here we go. Here's Beth's question. Okay, let's listen to Beth.
Hi, Clayton. This is Beth. I'm in California, and I want to know, how can I buy a home if I have student loan debt?
Well, thank you so much, Beth. Well, you shouldn't be discouraged from, you know, trying to get a home loan if you have student loan debt. The real question I have for you, though, is, you know, how much money are you bringing in right now? Because the last thing I want you to do is become house poor. So my personal advice, if this, you know, I'm not a financial advisor, but I really want to look at how much income I have coming in versus how much debt and other liabilities going out. So can you afford a home right now? Or are you better off renting? Remember, 25% of your take-home pay is what we want to basically be able to allocate towards a mortgage payment. So if you've also got, I mean, like what money do you have left over that you can spend on a mortgage payment? Like, are you drowning in debt? Is your student loan debt crushing you to the point where you don't think you can get a mortgage? Then the sad fact of the matter is you might not be in a position to do that. The second point I want to make about buying a house is that it's not a performing asset. So you might have the opportunity to look at, I would say if you're a first-time home buyer, and you're thinking about, you're just starting out, you've got student loans, and et cetera, and you want to kind of kickstart your real estate investing journey or starting to build wealth out of the gate, think about possibly getting a loan and buying a duplex that you can live in, where you live in one side of a duplex. That way you're able to get a loan, great financing right now at ridiculously low prices. The fact that it also is a first-time home buyer, there's all sorts of programs and incentives for you as a first-time home buyer. But then be able to rent out the other unit to cover not only perhaps your mortgage, but also your student loan debt, and turning that duplex that you're moving into a bit of a performing asset. So student loan debt doesn't have to be crushing and, you know, to the ability where you can't ever get a loan in the future. And very often banks look at student loan debt differently than they do regular debt, credit card debt, et cetera. So just have a discussion with banks. Start shopping around. Interest rates are so low. Talk to different bankers. Say, here's my situation. And like I mentioned earlier, non-recourse financing is another possibility for you, where you're able to buy a home without having your own personal, without it being tied to your own personal name. So there are some options for you. But I would consider thinking about, how can I get a duplex that I could live in one side of it, rent out the other side of it, start to build up that net worth by having this performing asset, also being able to pay my mortgage and my student loans. Then you're off to the races. And that's how you start to build wealth. Got another question here. So thank you, Beth, for that question. Here's a question from Michael.
Hello, Clayton. This is Mike again in Mississippi. I have a financial question for you. I am disabled and I live on $784 a month. After paying my rent and utilities, I have approximately $225 left per month. I have no savings and my credit sucks. What can I do to do online where I could possibly increase my monthly income? I enjoy your show and I watch it every day, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Michael. Very kind of you. Thank you so much. And I'm sorry to hear with what you're dealing with there, and no savings and going through all that $700 a month. So, okay, your utilities and mortgage or rent are paid for. They're covered. That leaves you with about $200. I think the one of the lowest hanging fruit things that you're able to do working from home, where you don't have to put any money up at all, is to become a phone salesperson. If you are home and you have a phone, there are a number of different companies online that would look to hire cold calling individuals, literally, where, you know, or fielding sales phone calls coming in-house calls coming in. There are opportunities like that where you're not having to come out of pocket anything to get started. That's one thing that you can consider, because then you're just going to be, if you're home and you have the ability and you can make 30 phone calls a day, and if you can start to generate sales for a particular company, you know, everyone's working from home, but say we need sales more than ever. So if you have the wherewithal to do that with a pad of paper and a pencil, to sit down, cross off names, make phone calls, that's one way to do it. Honestly, I mean, that's one way to do it. That's one of the ways that I started in real estate is doing that. Just making calls. So that's like a no money, no barrier to entry kind of method. Another thing you can do, I have a whole video right here on my channel called How to Make Money Online in 2020. I won't go through every point, but I don't know what your skill set is, Michael. Are you a good writer? Are you a good listener? Are you good on camera? You know, could you create something? So many people think that I can't do it. Maybe I'm too old to do it. That's garbage. More and more older people are getting on now on YouTube. I mean, listen, you're watching my show, right? You're watching my show right now and you're on YouTube. What if you could create a show around a skill set that you have? Like, what have you done in your career that you could talk about and create a channel and educate other people around? You know, were you in accounting all of your life? Did you fix motorcycles all of your life? What? Or you could frankly treat it as a journal right now. You could create your own YouTube show and talk about your struggles. You could talk about trying to start to build wealth or some sort of passive income at 60 years old or at 50 years old or 30 years old or whatever. You know, I don't know how old you are. And that you start to build a brand. But again, I have a whole video that I would encourage you to go watch, walk through different ways that you can start to take action, start to do things from home, whether it's to start a website, whether it's to be a writer, whether it's to do, there's all sorts of different programs that I feature in that video that you can do from home online, part-time, where you can start to generate $400, $500 per month just doing simple little things online. A lot of different things. So check those out, Michael. I hope you find that helpful. If you have any more questions, feel free to reach out to me and I'll try to answer your questions here. We've got more to get to today. Let's talk about this. Question this morning, if you're asking yourself, should I buy a house right now? Holy smokes, I'm looking at these interest rates. They are so stinking low. At check this morning, 2.85 for a 30-year fixed mortgage. 30-year, 2.85%. Even lower for a 15-year mortgage. And every day when we're working on the newsletter, I have a little down arrow or an up arrow. And it just keeps going down, 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 down. So there's a lot of questions. Are we in a housing bubble? Are we, you know, is a housing crisis coming? Yes, there is a housing crisis coming. But it's coming for people that are being evicted, unfortunately. It's coming for people that aren't going to be able to pay their mortgages, unfortunately. If that is you and you've had to file forbearance, then we know what's coming. We know what's coming with the eviction crisis that's unfolding over the next few months. It's already starting. How many people are already behind on their mortgages? So we can't lump all of these things together. This piece this morning is interesting in Housing Wire. Housing market faced uncertainty in March, but now it's a circus. It's the headline. That it's off the charts. That realtors can't keep up with demand. That home sales are up 31%. Prices skyrocketing. Bidding wars are breaking out all over the place. Outside of the major metropolitan areas, people are leaving the cities. So that's kind of the broader market. What's going on right now more broadly is that there's incredible demand for these properties. People are getting into massive bidding wars. People are putting their houses on the market and they're selling immediately. And in fact, people are waiving inspections just so they can be the person that gets their offer accepted. Like, I don't even want to go check the foundation of that house. I don't want to look at it. And by the way, this was happening before COVID. This was happening in January, like in freezing Boston, Massachusetts, it was happening, where there are structural foundation problems in a lot of these really old houses in Boston, and people were waiving in their right to an inspection just so they could be the one that bought the house. Then they move in, or they're starting to move in, and they realize that, oh my gosh, this foundation is sinking. It's sinking. But we waived our inspection. There's nothing we can do about it because this house is attached to that house next door. And guess what? The whole block is sinking and there's nothing I can do about it. If I try to jack up my house, it'll affect their house. That's what's happening. Yes. So it is a seller's market right now, but it, in many ways, it's also a buyer's market because interest rates are so low that it's free money right now. So that's more broadly what's happening. My question to you is, you know, should I buy a house? Should you buy a house? Can you afford to buy a house? And again, I come back to what we said to one of our viewers earlier, which is, do you have enough out of that take-home pay? Do you have 25%? Like if you get a mortgage that's 25% of your take-home pay, 75% still better be there to be able to pay other things in your life. If you start to, most people are becoming house poor by buying too much house because interest rates are so low. And people don't buy based on the price of the house. $300,000 versus $350,000. Who cares, right? Because it's only $10 in my mortgage monthly payment. So I got a much bigger house. Yeah, I'm paying an extra $100,000, but I don't see that, right? Because I only see my monthly payment. This is how so many people become poor. They become house poor, they become cell phone poor, they become car poor. What do I mean? You see these advertisements for buy that BMW right now. 0% interest. And your monthly payment is only, you know, $400. Get yourself into a nice BMW today. And you'll be paying it for 12 years. Same thing with these new phone programs, these cell phone programs, right? Buy an iPhone today. Buy a Samsung Galaxy Note with financing. So you're only paying $12 a month for 7 years. So by the time you're done paying this phone off, the technology won't even work anymore. Those old cell phone towers don't even exist because 7 years have passed. And that's how people do it. They don't buy on the price, they buy on the monthly payment. So you need to be very careful as to what monthly payment you're going to be facing. The other question that I would have is, or the one of the main points I want to talk about on the housing front is, you know, I don't believe that owning a house is a performing asset. So living in a property does not put cash flow in your pocket every month. It takes money out of your pocket every month. And the only way, and you know, this whole idea of the American dream is garbage. Because the idea of the American dream is, I work for somebody else for 40 years. I put money in a retirement account like a 401k, and I buy a house to live in. That's not building wealth. Your bank owns your house, number one. Working for somebody else, you're trading time for money. So you're not getting that time back anytime soon. You're making somebody else's company wealthy. And number three, a 401k plan, which is banking on some future version of yourself where you're going to be in some kind of a tax bracket and where you're going to have a pile of cash when you retire that you can pull from and live off of. It doesn't work. The math doesn't work. So if you're thinking about buying a home, I really want to challenge your thought process here. Can you live where you want to live and rent? Not have to pay property taxes, not have to worry about fixing up the property when something goes wrong, not have to deal with the city municipality when they want to come to and tell you they have to rip up a sidewalk in front of the house. See, as a real estate investor, I rent where I live. Should you buy a house now? Interest rates are so low. So let me challenge you in this way and think, what if we bought a house, a rental property instead? What if we continue to rent where we live, find a great place that's affordable, and if we have money for a down payment, start to work with these incredibly low interest rates to buy, using other people's money, an investment property that somebody else lives in and produces monthly cash flow, therefore raising your net worth, getting all of the tax benefits that you get from owning rental real estate. With these numbers, though, with these housing numbers going crazy right now, we are seeing incredible opportunities for new construction properties across the country. We're seeing housing prices that could be coming down, actually, because of the amount of new housing starts that are opening up. So there's opportunities out here, folks, to find new construction properties, incredibly low financing, and to understand what's happening in the broader housing market right now is really important. I think it's important for us to not get caught up in this idea of a housing bubble. You know, there is no one housing bubble. What happens in San Francisco does not happen in other cities. What happens in Miami is totally different than Denver. There is no one housing bubble. There are multiple housing markets, and they're all different. So that's incredibly important to understand. Do you want to buy a house? What is the incentive to buy a house right now? Are you hoping to save money? Are you thinking that this is how you're going to build your financial future by moving into a house that you live in and takes money out of your pocket every month? All of these things you need to think about. That's why I get so frustrated when people say that, you know, my dream is to own my own house. Okay, and that's fine. If you want to own your own house, that's fine. I just want you to have other assets that are paying your ability to do that, right? Do you have 10 rental properties that are paying cash flow every month that enable you to buy this dream home? Because if you don't have that, then you're doing what has gotten so many people into debt for so many years. Taking money out of their pocket. Buying a car and having a car payment, having a mortgage payment. Oh, you're still a student loan and you have credit card debt and you're working for somebody else. You're in the highest tax bracket, by the way, when you work for somebody else. So all of these things mixed together should hopefully open your eyes to the question, should I buy a house? What is your answer? Based on these numbers, should I buy a house? Let me know. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this in the chat below. What do you disagree with me? People get angry about it. They're like, what are you talking about, Clayton? Buying a house is the most important thing you can do. Okay, prove it to me. Tell me how it is. People say, what about a duplex? Yes, that's different, right? So if you're buying a duplex to live in, one side of that duplex, and then you use the other side to rent out to somebody, great. Now you've turned that into a performing asset. That's called house hacking. That's smart. Now you can even buy that house in a limited liability company, an LLC, get the tax benefits of owning a performing asset rental property in your business and having your neighbor, your tenant, pay your mortgage. You know, we were never taught this in school. But Wall Street doesn't want you to know this. Wall Street wants you to buy stocks, invest in a 401k. They don't want you to do this. But you guys can be smarter than that. So that's my little house diatribe today. What do you think? Let me know your thoughts. Don't forget to subscribe to our daily newsletter. You go to morninginvest.com is how you do it. We publish that every morning. First thing, hits your inbox first thing, morninginvest.com. And you'll have, you can read it in about 5 minutes. Super easy to do. DJ just became a new member. You can also become a channel member if you'd like. If you support our, if you support independent journalism and you support what we do here, then you can become a channel member by going to morninginvest.com/join. And you can, just for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you can support our show and become a channel member. And every Friday we do our channel members only chat. So everyone in the chat right now who has a green name or uses so anyone who has a green name or a little Grover emoji or emote, those are all hand drawn, by the way. Those are all channel member icons. Fabulous finds. See? I knew there'd be people who disagree with me. All right, let's see. Fabulous Finds writes, so had I not bought a house 30 years ago, I wouldn't be here living rent mortgage free. What are you talking about, Clay? Okay, you bought a house 30 years ago. It took you 30 years to pay it off, and now you're living rent free. Okay. What am I talking about is, what if you didn't use that giant down payment to buy the house that you lived in for 30 years and was not a performing asset? What if you took that down payment, the $60,000 down payment, and you bought a $300,000 duplex that's new construction with tenants living in them already, paying $3,100 a month in cash flow, and your mortgage is like $1,500 or whatever? So now you can rent a place somewhere, right, where you live, and that cash flow from those tenants is paying for your lifestyle. And then once that house accrues in value, or and that tenant is paying down that mortgage, now you're building equity. Now you can refinance that house, pull that equity out, and buy a second one and a third. This is how smart people do it. So now you live in a house rent free. That's great. Good, and good for you for paying it off. Congratulations. I mean, I've written a whole book on how to pay off your mortgage in 5 years. So great, good on you. But now can you take some of that equity in that house and use it to buy cash flowing assets that enable you to bring in additional cash flow? All of these things are part of the broader question. And you might be fine, like, no, I don't want any of that. I'm just fine living in this house rent free, and that's fine. Okay, good. All of those are possibilities as well. I'm just telling you how to be more intelligent with your money. And buying a house to live in, unfortunately, is not the way to do it. You might, you know, people are like, well, I'd never be able to live in it. Yes, I'd never be able to live in the neighborhood that I want or the school district. That's not true. It's just not true. You know, one of my friends is a real estate investor. He owns over 300 properties that cash flow. He lives in Malibu, California, in a beautiful home that he rents. And the cash flow from his rental properties enable him to live there. Same thing is true of almost every real estate investor I know. They don't own the house they live in. Now, there are some that use this idea of wealth preservation, right? Buying a house where then that house itself becomes a form of wealth preservation. They've had a lot of money, so they put it into a house as a hedge against inflation and other things. So those are some things to think about too. But for most people, they're getting a mortgage and they're going into debt and they're doing it. And they're not thinking about wealth preservation. All right, we got more to talk about. Let's see if I can get these latest numbers up here. Would you guys see this? Take this little thing down here. Did you guys see this? Harley Davidson is getting into the e-bike game. This is pretty cool. You know, the Hog, makers of one of the most beautiful motorcycles in America. Now they're getting into the e-bike game, and this is smart. And this might be a really smart investment, a smart play to pay attention to what Harley Davidson is doing here. I recently got an e-bike, and they're fantastic. And the technology has advanced so much that you can get like 70 miles on a charge. And when you flip it to like that turbo mode, holy smokes, you're taking off. You could literally go 70 miles. And even some of them, you can go higher than that, like 90 miles, 100 miles on an electric bike. And they have multiple levels, like you turbo mode, touring mode, EMBT mode, eco mode. And then you can turn it off if you want, just pedal like normal. These things are amazing. And a lot of cities have really embraced e-bikes. You'll notice a lot of city bikes are now plugged, like City Bike in New York City, and others are popping up. But now Harley Davidson getting in on the e-bike game, and they have their new electric bicycle company. And look how gorgeous this thing is. Now they spun off their company. This was a smart move, I think, because Harley Davidson decided not to sell the e-bike under its main Harley Davidson brand, but they're calling it Serial One Cycle Company. So the Serial One Cycle Company, let me zoom in on this a little bit, is based on their original Harley from back in the early 1900s when it was called the Serial One. So he said, when Harley Davidson first put power onto two wheels in 1903, it changed how the world moved forever. Inspired by the entrepreneurial vision of Harley Davidson's founders, we hope to once again change how cyclists and the cycling curious move around their world with a Serial One e-bicycle. Pretty sweet. Let me show you some more pictures of this. I'm going to zoom back out here. So check this out. What do you guys think? I like this quite a bit. It has that like leather. Kind of has a, definitely has like a Harley feeling to it. Let me see if I can pull up some bigger pictures here or some tight pictures of the chrome. Would you guys buy this? I think this is a smart play for this company. There's the battery indicator right on the front so you can see how much battery you have left. I love those handlebars. Look at those grips, reminiscent of a Harley Davidson. Again, I think this is a smart play from an investment standpoint. They said in this article on Electric, says, as we've previously seen, the design includes a mid-drive motor, a belt drive system that looks very much like a Gates carbon drive setup, like their other belt-driven motorcycles. They all use the all-electric live wires, also use belt drive systems. Frame integrated headlights and taillights. That's cool. through axle wheel hubs, what appear to be Tektro dual piston hydraulic disc brakes, Brooks leather saddle, beautifully wrapped leather hand grips. This thing is gorgeous. But see, this is what you're seeing in a lot of these big and older companies that can evolve. I think, you know, it's important to think about a company like Harley Davidson that has been really hurting. They've been really hurting. And of course, they've had and famously had to said that they would keep their manufacturing in the United States. And of course, they haven't been able to do that. Trump really, really wanted them to be able to do that. They haven't been able to do that. So creating this separate company that's eco-friendly, that's advancing, that's moving away from gas-guzzling vehicles towards the future. This is exciting. Let's see if we can see some of the video here and if it actually moves.
Years. They first released some concept sketches along with their More Roads to Harley-Davidson plan that included other electric motorbikes and electric mopeds. And then last August, they released more images of three different models of electric bicycles showing mid-drive motors and belt drive setups. And then last year at the 2019 Milan Motorcycle Show, I got a first look at the three Harley-Davidson electric bicycle prototypes up close and in the flesh. And it was pretty impressive to see them like that. It was the first time they were ever shown off in the flesh, and they definitely looked the part of premium electric bicycles. But then, like everything, Harley's plans for releasing the bikes were thrown off by the COVID-19 pandemic, and it was only today that we actually learned that Harley would spin off their own electric bicycle company to bring these e-bikes to market.
So I love that it's powered by Harley-Davidson. Smart marketing from them. But again, paying attention to these companies that are having to make this eco transition right now. Maybe not having to, but they're seeing the trend. And one of the other reasons we should talk about how powerful this is that many companies or many countries right now are giving e-bike incentives. Most of Europe right now in the European Union is giving e-bike incentives, purchasing of e-bikes, the United States as well, China, South Korea, giving e-bike incentives on your taxes. Same thing with electric vehicles. So all of these tax benefits are there. I mean, you can literally in certain European countries buy a Tesla for free. Yeah, basically you can buy it in your company's name and then buy it for basically get a tax break back. So they're actually, the government is in fact paying you to buy an electric vehicle, not just a Tesla, but an electric vehicle. So when the government's going to get behind these types of tax incentives, you know, this can move markets. And this is why you're seeing so many of these car companies right now starting to produce electric cars. You know, Mini Cooper, BMW, Nissan, Ford, everyone going all in on electric energy right now. And by the way, I love this idea that this is new technology. I sort of laugh at this because, you know, the first cars ever built were electric. Heck, you know, Woodrow Wilson would talk about driving around. One of his favorite pastimes, President Woodrow Wilson was driving around in his electric car. And of course, then along came the oil industry that crushed the electric car movement. We switched to gas. The interstate highway system, we switched everything to gas. And of course, our reliance on fossil fuels. And now, finally, because of climate change, because we're having governments in parts of the rest of the world pushing for electric energy technology, it's like we're going back 120 years in time. It's like, maybe we were on to something back in 1898. This is not new. This is not new. It's amazing to me. Some of the first cars ever produced were electric. And like somehow this is revolutionary that now we're moving towards this technology. But let me know in the chat what you think about Harley Davidson's new e-bike. Would you buy one? My wife said, I'd love to get one of those. They do look pretty sexy. But bigger question is, would you invest in that company? I'm going to look more deeply into the Serial One company and see how they can, you know, what these prices will be like and also when they're going to start coming to market. Can they meet expectations and demand? Of course, one of the big questions for their delay has been coronavirus. So these things have been held back. But, you know, I would like to be able to put my money behind companies that are eco-friendly and moving us forward as a civilization away from our reliance on fossil fuels. That's how you can feel better about investing too. Investing in things that are actually moving us forward, making it a safer, better environment for our children. instead of these gas-guzzling vehicles that are making it worse. Let me know in the chat. I'd be curious to see your thoughts on that. We also had some other news we'll get to in a minute on PlayStation. We're getting our first look at the PlayStation 5. I'll show you that in just a minute. Thanks to all of your super chats, by the way. Who do we get just a super chat from this morning? Big Worm 28, thank you for your super chat. Jennifer McCall says, electric vehicle ETF investments is the way to go, possibly. You need to be very careful, though. To be very careful what's in that ETF. So people blindly buy into these things, and you need to know if you're buying into these some like green energy companies, or you're buying into oil and gas companies that are now converting themselves to clean energy, quote unquote. In many ways, what they're doing is kind of fudging the books a little bit. They're moving, trying to move away from barrels per day. They're moving towards, like, they're basically shifting their accounting around. Well, we're moving to wind and solar and all of this stuff. Okay. But you have like this legacy accounting model that's based on barrels of oil per day produced. So you're having to completely change a business model. So you just need to be careful in some of these mutual funds and ETFs and other things that are tied to these types of companies that have this like legacy accounting problem. That's why I'd be looking at new companies, new startups that don't have that legacy cruft to them, that are free of and unburdened by the legacy of BP and Exxon and Shell and all that stuff. You just need to be careful. Another question here. This one is from Elizabeth. Let's listen to Elizabeth's financial question this morning.
Hi, Clayton. My name's Elizabeth, and I live in Northwest Atlanta. This weekend, I noticed that Trump went and voted early in Florida, but back in August 18th, he sent a mail-in vote that was received in Florida. And so I'm confused why he got to vote twice and no one is talking about this. Can you help me? Like, just understand why he voted twice and no one is bringing it up?
Thanks, Elizabeth. Well, that didn't actually happen. He voted, but he voted in the primary. So this is where conspiracy theories can go out of hand, right? Do you think the president of the United States would be allowed to vote twice and people would just look the other way with a liberal press on his back? No way. So no, he voted in that August 18th Florida primary by mail. So he didn't fly to Florida in August to vote in that primary. They had their primary very late. No one talks about the Florida primary because who cares? So he voted in August. That was in the Florida primary or the state primary in August. And then he voted by mail also in March for the presidential primary. So twice he voted in primaries. Then the other day he went to Florida and voted in person for the presidential race. So no conspiracy theory. So good question. Here's Kathy. Here's a question from Kathy. You can always leave me a question by going to morninginvest.com. And right on the right-hand side of the screen there is a voicemail button. Just click on that voicemail button and you can leave me a voicemail. Ask your finance-related question or otherwise, and I will answer them.
Hi, Clayton. I love your show. So I just sold my house and made a profit of $60,000, and I'd love to use some of that to buy my first rental property. But in the event that my tenants were to stop paying rent, my current salary would not be enough to cover both mortgages of a primary residence and a rental property. So what would you suggest for someone like me who wants to buy a rental property, has the cash to invest, but no backup in the case of a rent payment delinquency? Thanks.
Well, hey, book a call with our team at Morris Invest. We'll take care of you because that's really all you need for a down payment on a property. That's actually more than you need. And it's cash flowing from day one with a great tenant in place. So you don't have that. You don't have to worry about that. We'll take care of you. So book a call with us. Just go to Morris Invest, just go to the main website. You'll see a big book a call button right there. You can watch a video. You can learn more about real estate investing. Full service real estate investing. Again, our down payment is going to be in that $40,000 range, but we have different options. And we may, I'm not sure if we have any duplexes available at the moment, but then imagine you have two tenants in the property. So now you're mitigating your risk even more in one of the best rental markets in the country with making over $3,000 a month in cash flow from a rental property with financing built in with these historically low financing numbers right now, rental numbers. Interest rates. That's what I'm trying to say. So even if you don't work with us, I'm just saying my point is that, you know, you want to make sure you have great property management like we do. You want to make sure that you're, you know, hopefully you're not screening tenants yourself and doing that all yourself. That's where you can really run into problems. Like, we have an amazing team that does all of that for us. They do criminal background checks, all of those things to make sure we've got a great tenant in the property. Make sure the house is fantastic, brand new construction. All of those things are really important to that process. You can run into trouble, like if you're going to start trying to do it yourself and you don't know real estate, and you don't know the numbers, you don't know all those things, right? That's where you can run into trouble. But at the end of the day, I would use all of that cash flow. Let me remind you of this, Kathy. There are three stages of real estate investing. Okay, there are three stages of real estate investing. There's buy, own, and cash flow. When you're young and you're just getting started, or not even young, but you're just getting started in real estate investing, you're in the buy phase. So you really shouldn't be worried about the cash flow. Like, think of the cash flow as like icing on the cake that gets put in a bank account that you don't touch, okay? Or you're reinvesting it, but you do not touch that cash flow. So you buy the property using financing or otherwise. As long as you're cash flowing at least $100 over your expenses, your mortgage payment, etc., as long as you're bringing in a profit of $100, then you're good. Because you have to take out 40% for taxes, repairs, expenses, those types of things. So as long as after you remove the 40%, and then you remove your mortgage payment on top of the 40%, and you're still bringing home $100, then that's a good return on investment. Okay? So you're in the buy phase in step one. Then, as your tenants are paying down this mortgage over the years, you're building equity, you're building net worth, then eventually you own the house. Okay? Now you fully own it. Then the third stage is cash flow. That's when you're sitting back saying, "Well, I don't owe anything on this house, and now I get to keep all of the money." But in the meantime, we're focused at the beginning on just buying. And then we can move into that cash flow stage later. So put that money away. You know, if you find a property that you want to do yourself and renovate it yourself and hire great contractors and find good property management teams and all of that, and you want to do it yourself, put that money aside from that cash flow. Put it into a savings somewhere that you're going to need it for a rainy day, because in case you have a vacancy, you will have a vacancy at some point. Can you sustain yourself for a month while you get a new tenant in that property? And you clean the carpet and you do some touch-up paint and those types of things. So all things to consider if you want to become a real estate investor. But we teach you all about that. I have a whole nother YouTube channel, by the way, that's just on real estate investing. Just for real estate investors. If you're interested in that, let me pull that up here. We only talk real estate investing on that channel. So if you can go check that out, it is right here. It is just called Morris Invest. So youtube.com/Morris Invest, my last name. And we walk you through all of those steps on how to invest in real estate. So you can check that out if you are interested. So thank you for that question, Kathy. All right. Hey, PlayStation 5, we're getting our first look, and first reviews are starting to hit the interwebs. And I couldn't be more excited about this. Of course, a few weeks ago, I talked about Sony here, company I'm hot on, because of not only all of the cameras that they produce inside of smartphones. You know, anytime you buy an iPhone, you're getting a Sony camera built in because they build all of the lenses, right? Almost 60% of all smartphones that you're going to buy have a Sony camera in it. So I am bullish on this company. And I think the Sony PlayStation 5 just scored a huge home run. The early reviews are in. So if you've been catching like MKBHD, Marquez Brownlee, he got his hands on with the new Sony PlayStation 5. And this thing is gorgeous. And we're not allowed to see the gameplay just yet. We're seeing just some unboxings of this and what it actually looks like. And it's actually pretty big. It's a pretty big console. You can put it on its side, stand it upright. It comes with a disc drive if you get the one that has a disc drive, or you can get the streaming only version, the digital only, which is what I would get. This is going to be one of the most difficult gifts to get for Christmas. I can already know that it's going to be super difficult. What's really cool is, Marquez pointed this out, when you zoom in, you look really tight on the controller. It has this like really tiny little texture of like X's and O's and triangles, like the PlayStation numerology, I guess, or the symbology. So the controller itself even has that little texture, but it's all really, you wouldn't even notice that if you wouldn't zoom in like that. Again, it's gorgeous. Here, some of the CPU on this thing has AMD Zen 2 based CPU with 8 cores processing power, GPU 10.28 teraflops. The GPU architecture has a custom RDNA 2 memory interface, 16 gigabytes of GDDR6 and 256 bit memory bandwidth, 448 gigabytes. Internal storage. I always find it weird. It comes with 825 gigabytes of internal storage on an SSD drive. Why not just make it a terabyte? I don't get that. Just make it a terabyte. And the controller. I'm excited about this controller, by the way. So what's interesting in these early unboxings, they're not allowed to show any of the gameplay right now. They're just able to show you what the controller and the actual console looks like. It ships with an HDMI cable and one controller, one of these DualSense controllers. JF, where were you able to pre-order yours? Look at that. So that's how it stacks up against the new Xbox and the new Xbox line. But check out, so this DualSense controller is pretty sweet. And the way you're like, you can maneuver and you feel like this vibration in a way that you didn't with those other controllers. So this is a Skill Ups channel. He did a review. He actually got some gameplay in Australia. Super jelly of him. And that's the DualSense controller right there with this haptic feedback. And it has like an LED light underneath the front of this thing instead of on the back like it used to. It's got a speaker right there in front. It has a little charging dingus in the front that you can put it on this little charging pad dual with another controller. But he got a chance to play with this thing, the DualSense haptic feedback, and he says it was amazing. Just listen to what he had to say about this. I'm super jealous.
I could not believe this when I held this in my hand and I started feeling the rumble. In fact, I think our reactions probably when we were using it like for the first time, I think it's probably the best thing to show.
Mm. There's this demo here that I'm playing on screen where it's actually ticking up and like dropping blocks into the PlayStation control on screen. Mm-hmm. I can feel like each of those blocks on either side. There was a part in the menu earlier where it was kind of like a light was shining across the menu and I could feel the rumble on the controller sliding across there. And I was like, this is amazing, okay?
Oh, that thing is amazing. So again, the new PlayStation 5 coming out, we don't see the gameplay yet, and even the way that he was being framed in that shot, they can't show the screen. We're not allowed to see what the gameplay looks like. We're not allowed to see it. They don't want to see any of them doing it, so they're still under embargo. All of the reviewers that are getting their hands on these right now, they're all under embargo. So they can only show off the actual box itself. They can't show the gameplay, which is pretty funny. So they can show the console and the cords and you know, they get more bang for their buck. So next week or so when their embargo lifts, we'll get to see some actual gameplay of this thing. But it's going to be pretty sweet. I'm excited about it because there's a number of different apps that I use, like obviously Netflix and Apple TV Plus, by the way, is coming to the PlayStation. And so this thing is going to be wicked fast. I can't wait to see how quickly apps load if you're using, you know, if you use it for Netflix or you use it for Apple TV or some other products like that. It's going to be super sweet. See how fast this thing is. If anyone has any idea where I can pre-order one of these things and get my hands on one, it's so funny, me covering technology back in the day, I would have been one of these guys that gets a pre-order or gets one of these units ahead of time to review. But those days have gone as I've gotten a little older. Now it's a younger man's game, I guess. So there you go. First look, and the reviews are starting to come in for the PlayStation 5. And I'll have links to both MKBHD's video as well as SkillUp's channel so you can take a look more deeply at those videos and go deeper. I love Marquez Brownlee. He did a great job showing off just how sexy this thing is. So there you go. PlayStation 5. Will you buy one? Let me know in the chat below if you're going to pick one of these up. Again, my son wants one bad, but I don't know. Now, if we're going to be able to find one. Let's see who's chatting in the chat here. Anna Lee. MCAT says, Clayton, are you sick? No, my throat's a little dry. Rose's Flowers, sorry I don't give two flying cows. Oh. You can play video games in it. Phil D says, I ordered mine. I want one. Monkey 2 says, yes, explain to us where you have a real estate broker's license. Monkey 2. Real estate broker's license. Oh, Brandy Johnson says, do you recommend getting a real estate agent license? For what? I mean, do you want to make, you know, real estate commissions on selling houses? Do you want to show people houses? I mean, it can be great. The only reason I would suggest getting your real estate license is if you don't have another job, what this does is it pushes you into a different tax bracket if you become a real estate professional. So real estate professional means you have 750 hours per year working in real estate, and you completely alter your tax bracket. I would consider reading Tax-Free Wealth by Tom Wheelwright to learn more about this. But even if, let's say you have a doctor in the family and that doctor works every day and one of the spouses works at home and doesn't do anything, but you know, is a stay-at-home spouse. That person can become a real estate professional, and then that doctor's salary now gets completely altered. Because now they go from being passive investors to active investors, and it completely changes how much you have to pay Uncle Sam. So we'll teach doctors sometimes. They don't realize that, oh my God, they're going to save like $400,000 in taxes just because now their wife got their real estate license and is now an active real estate professional. The thing is, you can't have another job. Like, you can't work a day job as an accountant and then at night become a real estate professional by getting your real estate license. Like, your primary job by the IRS is still your primary job. There's no way around that. You would basically have to quit that job in order to get that tax benefit in that way. So yeah, my wife has her real estate license. And you know, if you want to use it to like find properties, that's a great way, you know, to have access to the multiple listing service and have access to finding maybe off-market properties and developing those relationships. But honestly, I think the most important reason might be just to become a real estate professional and put the time in learning real estate. And then you get that 750 hours, according to the IRS, every year, going to meetings, et cetera, totally changes your taxability, tax bracket. Nikki Dawn says, with all of these companies going green, I can imagine a PlayStation someday powered by hamsters running on a wheel. Clayton, if the stock market is crashing, why is it advised that people open a Webull account for stock? Because it's free, my friend.
Come on, man.
You're not buying any stock. See? So when you get a free Webull account, you're not buying any stock. You're getting a free account. They're giving you three free stocks. You can sell them. And now that turns into cash. Could be $10. They're giving you three. So they're giving you one premium and two regular. So you can get one that's $250, one that's $10, one that's $1,000. And then just sell those stocks. Put that money in your bank account. But again, you're not buying. I'm not asking you. I would never tell you to go and buy stocks. I just tell you, I don't give any recommendations. I tell you what companies I find interesting. Like I was telling you about Harley Davidson earlier and their new e-bike. That's fascinating. With the demand and the tax benefits and incentives right now for countries all around the world. So again, hope you understand that. No, Leah Towns, there's no fee. There's no fee. You have to get the third stock, you have to deposit $100 into the account. Not spend 100, just put 100 in the account. And it's not in the market. It's just in a savings account. It's in your cash on hand account. Sell the three stocks, plus get your $100 back, plus three stocks. So again, it's not for everyone. If you don't want to do it, don't get free money. I don't care. I don't care. I'm just giving you the opportunity to do it. And then, by the way, if you do invest in stocks, you do invest in, you know, Sony or Apple or some of these other companies I'm going to teach you about in the coming weeks, some of these green energy companies that have just exploded 500% in value and have been recession-proof, then you have an account in which to do that, and it's free. So it's like a Scottrade account or a Robinhood account. Robinhood gives you one free stock for opening an account. Webull gives you three right now through Halloween. So, but I am not a stock market guy. I'm very selective in what we have our stocks in, to be clear. Grover is just chewing my arm apart right now, which means I guess it's time to go. Brandy Johnson says, Webull gave me a gaming stock and a gold stock. That's awesome. For free. Again, the only way you can get that for free is use our link, because they support our show. Let me show you how to do that. So ignore this graphic. It's not one free stock. It's three free stocks valued up to $1,600. Just go to morninginvest.com/Webull. Morninginvest.com/Webull. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. We're going to see you tomorrow morning, first thing, 9 a.m. Eastern time. By the way, if there is any stimulus news, which there won't be, if there is, I will bring it to you. Don't you worry. We will do breaking news and I will cover it. If there's any big financial news, I will cover it. I will bring it to you. That's what the show is all about, bringing you financial intelligence, stuff that you're not going to learn watching the mainstream media. The mainstream media wants to keep you poor. They want to keep you investing in their companies that make them money. These financial services companies make thousands of dollars off of managing your money, which is garbage. Garbage. Much love to all of you. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you for subscribing and sharing this with someone you love. Grover thanks you, but he would thank you, but he's chewing my arm off right now. All right. Grover, say goodbye. I just want to eat my arm. Come on up. Say bye. Say bye. Say bye. Yeah, much love to all of you. We'll see you tomorrow. Okay.